Hey moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorinda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorinda Wilson, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to nine, and 26-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling, and The 4-Hour School Day, how you and your kids can thrive in the homeschool life. If you haven't checked out those books, I really want to encourage you to do that. You're going to find loads of encouragement there. The other resource that I love to share with you all is Homeschooling Today. So if you've decided to homeschool and you listen to this podcast, I am guessing that you have a desire to slow down and enjoy the journey. My friends at Homeschooling Today magazine share our hearts for homeschooling. The print magazine, I'll say it again, it's gorgeous. When it comes in the mail, you're going to want to get away and savor it. You'll find great ideas for teaching that will inspire you, but you'll also feel emboldened to homeschool in a way that helps your kids discover who God created them to be. That's one reason that I love writing for them. I know that they're passionate about homeschooling and have a deep desire to help you homeschool boldly, to remind you that we're in this together and to help you see past the present trials into the reality of your true calling, equipping your children to be the remarkable people that God created. I will include a link in the podcast notes so you can go check that out. But today, I'm going to be talking about writing. And actually, I have been dreading this episode. I'm just going to be honest with you, because our writing plan, I don't even know if I would call it a plan, what we ended up doing over all of the years of homeschooling was so simple and to the point that it's almost embarrassing. And I remember telling my husband this when he suggested that I should write a book on homeschooling, which I thought he was crazy. I thought he was kidding. I said, why would anyone want to hear about our homeschooling? It was very simple and straightforward, and I just don't know that anybody would be all that interested in it. And he said to me, because it was simple and straightforward and unhurried, he goes, I think some moms actually would like to hear about it. So I wrote The Unhurried Homeschooler, and apparently there are moms out there that this whole approach just resonated with them, what God had already put in their hearts to do. So today, my prayer is that as I share our story, our experience, that you'll just be encouraged, that you don't have to be intimidated by the topic of writing when it comes to homeschooling our kids. You know, again, I'm always encouraging moms, listen to your gut, listen to what God is telling you to do, pray over everything. And trust him to give you direction. I'm not a writing teacher or a writing guru. Even though I'm a published author, I was not a published author while my kids were growing up. And writing in school for me felt forced pretty much 100% of the time. The only writing that I really enjoyed was my 11th grade English class. And what we did that I enjoyed so much, and I've done some of this with my kids at different times, but we would walk into the classroom and the teacher would have a quote on the chalkboard, and we had a journal on our desks that we, or, you know, a journal with us in our backpacks. And so we would walk in, we would sit down, and the first thing we were supposed to do is write down that quote at the top of our notebook and then spend 10 or 15 minutes writing our thoughts about that quote, whether we thought it was true or not true, just anything we had to say. And she didn't correct it or edit it or do anything with it. She basically just gave us this opportunity to express what we felt about this particular quote. And we did that every single day of the school year. So I've done a little bit of that with my kids. And some of them really, really enjoyed it. I'm going to be sharing just kind of like systematically sort of like the about the four different things that we did when it came to writing. But that was something I just threw in every now and then. You know how it is. You kind of just, I just had this simple approach, and then every now and then I would throw in something a little different just to change things up. But we pretty much did essentially the same thing throughout our years of schooling, and I'll share those with you in just a minute. But you probably have your own feelings about writing. You know, maybe you didn't enjoy it. Maybe it felt pressured to you. Maybe you didn't really ever really feel like you fully engaged with it. Because the truth is that writing is not, it's not a science, it's an art. And so it's something you have to sort of learn to get the feel for. And so it's a difficult thing to teach. It's something that we almost have to draw out by invitation. One of the other classes that I really enjoyed was my publications class. So that was the school newspaper and the yearbook. Those were actually really fun for me. I think mainly because first there was a purpose, and secondly, I could envision the audience. You know, when they ask us to write a paper for school, they're asking us to write a paper for the teacher. That's not a very exciting audience. But all of a sudden, when, you know, your fellow classmates, you know, they're going to read it, or it's going to actually be published in something, there's a whole lot more gratification, at least there was for me in doing that. So I think it's important to understand that finding motivation or a reason to write is really the key to engaging someone in the writing process. But the overall purpose of writing is simply to communicate effectively our thoughts and ideas. Ruth Beechick said this. She took a more Charlotte Mason approach to learning. And she actually has some books on writing. I haven't read them, so I don't know if they'd be helpful or not, but I do know that I love her approach and the things that I have read that she's written, I have really enjoyed. Like I said, I haven't read her books, but her quotes and things like that, I've been drawn to her style, her approach, and her thinking. But she said this, writing and speaking are two major ways that people influence society. All our learning is locked within our own minds if we can't communicate with others. So again, it's communicating effectively our thoughts and ideas. That's the purpose behind writing. We know that, you know, that a good book, right? A good book can change the trajectory of our lives, you know? And even just, I heard somebody say once, if you read a whole book and you walk away with one thing that you remember, it was worth the read. And I never forgot that, because sometimes that one sentence or that one idea changes habits for us, gets us thinking in a better direction. It sort of like changes the course of the ship. So we know that the written word is powerful. We know God's word is powerful, right? It's kind of in a category on its own, but I love some of the verses that are out there in the scripture that talk about the written word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're thoroughly equipped for every good work through this written word. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's powerful. Psalm 119 says your lamp is a your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Again, the power of the written word. James 1:21. Get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. And then James says not to just listen to the word, but do it. Do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Romans 10 says faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Psalm 107 says he sent out his word and healed them and delivered them. And I believe it's in Isaiah 55. It talks about how God's word does not come back void. Now, you can hear the power that is in the written word. And of course, God's word is more powerful than any written word. It's actually alive, but the written and spoken word is still incredibly powerful. Like I mentioned before, a good book can change the trajectory of our lives. And so I want you to think about your own experience with writing. Did you enjoy it? Did it feel forced? What kinds of writing do you use currently as an adult? What impacted your writing skills the most? I remember I was talking to my seventh and eighth grade teacher, and he was telling me that he went to college, but they never did any student teaching. They just threw them in the classroom, and they basically told them, teach like your favorite teacher taught you. So if you can maybe think back and draw from some good experiences that you had and use those with your own kids, that might be a really great idea. And that's what I ended up doing with our kids, and it worked really, really well. Now, maybe you didn't like every way that this teacher taught, but maybe there were a couple things that stood out to you, like I said, that are positive experiences that you could maybe use to engage your kids in the writing process. Again, the purpose of writing is to communicate effectively our thoughts and ideas. It's important to understand this, that so much of what our kids learn can happen through conversation and experiences in real life. I talk about this all the time in my books, all the time on the podcast, and that actually includes writing as well. Our conversations with our kids encourage pre-writing and writing skills, pre-language and language skills. For example, my kids would be out playing. They'd come in for maybe for a snack or something, and I would say, hey, what are you guys doing out there? Striking up a conversation. Well, they have to engage in, you know, thinking about what it is we're doing and put that into words and share it with me. And I would ask lots of questions throughout the day. So then what did you do? And then what did you do? Just encouraging conversation is a huge part of teaching language and writing skills. So because what our kids are having to do is they're having to engage in word retrieval, they're having to use vocabulary, they're having to do sentence structure, obviously not punctuation or capitalization, but those are kind of like, I feel like those are things they can get from a workbook or something like that. But the whole art of being able to express themselves effectively can happen so beautifully through conversations. And when we're inviting them into a conversation and it just feels safe and open and we're just asking lots of questions and engaged in what's interesting to them, and then at the same time, they're learning to express themselves effectively and communicate effectively their thoughts and ideas, that is a win-win. Sometimes I would even answer a question with a question. Maybe they'll come to me and they'll say, Mom, why do the leaves fall in the fall? And I would ask them, well, even though I know they didn't know the answer, I would say, well, why do you think they fall in the fall? What do you think happens? Now I've engaged them in something that's interesting to them and we're having a conversation about it. I give them a chance to use critical thinking skills to retrieve anything they may have read or heard that maybe I didn't know about, and they can share that with me. And then maybe we can go together and figure out, why do leaves fall in the fall? You know, I was a master at saying to them, I actually can't explain that to you, but let's go figure it out. I've got a couple books on this. Let's read about it. And then all of a sudden, we've engaged them in more conversation and more critical thinking and more problem solving and just being a lifelong learner. So never underestimate the power of conversations. So the other thing that I want to share with you is how reading also develops pre-writing and language skills. When they read for themselves, when they read out loud, when we read out loud to them, when they listen to an audiobook, there's more than one way for them to take in a book and take in this kind of important, just this process. So I want to share with you my kids' experiences. I asked them this question. I think I heard back from about five of them. And they shared with me the answer to this question. What would you say were the most influential approaches that encouraged you to write? And I said, if any, because maybe there weren't any. But all the kids who answered me had you know, because my kids are all adults now. So sometimes they miss a text or they're busy with kids or whatever. So I just usually take whatever I can get from them. But you'll notice as I'm reading through these responses from my kids that finding motivation or a reason to write was absolutely key. And I think that's something we need to sort of camp out on, is just being watchful, watching our kids, watching for a way that we can invite them to practice writing. But do it in a way that is just, you know, like an invitation, not a forced thing. Now, obviously, I'm not saying kids never have to be forced to write anything. That would be ridiculous. But as much as possible, we want this to be a positive experience for them. And so we want to work with them on it. And again, we can even have conversations with them about, well, is there anything you would want to write about? You know, or maybe we're having a conversation and they're telling me all kinds of really great information about something that they're interested in that they've learned. I say, you know, it'd be really cool if you would write all this down so that you can share it with dad later, or, you know, just there's so many different ways we can engage them. I remember we did something really fun with another family. Another homeschooling family, what we did was we would study, we would spend a month. We agreed on a country that we would study about. And the kids were free to find out everything about that country in whatever way they wanted to. So through books, documentaries, whatever they wanted to do. But at the end of that month, we would get together as a family and we would eat food that was from that country. And each of the kids would read something that they had written about what they learned about that country. And so there was public speaking involved, there was writing involved, and they loved it because we were doing it with another family and it was around food and that kind of thing. So that was just a win-win for us. And again, we did a lot of these little like diversions here and there. We didn't do that forever. I think we might have done it for 3 or 4 months at the most, you know, but it was an experience that they had that was a positive one when it came to writing. So as I go through each of my kids, again, each of my kids' responses, I want you to notice that finding motivation or reason to write is the key. So here's the question I'm asking them. What would you say were the most influential approaches that encouraged you to write? So our oldest, who's busy at home with 4 kids, 7 and under, gave a very brief answer. But it was journaling and reading good books. And so this was what kind of it's what influenced her. It's what encouraged her to write. She enjoyed writing out her thoughts on paper. Not everybody enjoys that, but she did. So journaling and reading good books was great. Our second daughter, who is a wife, my oldest daughter is a wife and a homeschooling mom. Second daughter is a wife and a homeschooling mom as well. She also helps with her husband's business, specifically the marketing. So she's got to be pretty good with words and that kind of thing, which is a perfect fit for her because when you hear a little bit of her story, you'll understand. She said this, reading. That is what influenced her the most, encouraged her to write. She said, when we read books like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Hobbit, etc., I developed a love for how people wove simple words and words I'd never heard into something thought-provoking. I also went through a lot of history and literature books and noticed how I would like one author's approach to storytelling or communicating information over the others. And can I tell you, most of that history and those literature books were her choice. She chose to read those. I did not put those on her. I did not ask her to do that. She pursued that on her own. But you notice that for her, writing resonates with the relational part of her and that love for storytelling. She went on to say this, how we word something has a lot to do with how well it's received and how people perceive us. It's the flagship of your personality, especially nowadays when so much communication is written via the internet. And so that is something to really keep in the forefront of our minds. So I do want to tell a little side story about her. She used to read the dictionary, believe it or not. That's how much she loved words. She would sit on the couch, she would open it up, and she would just be just foraging for words that she'd never heard before and learning what they meant. And the other kids would come in often and sit with her. And enjoy that process with her. And one of the things that they really like to do is they would like to, our older kids had sort of like this fun thing going on with another homeschooling family where they would, our kids would write, specifically Jenna would write what she called dictionary letters. And they were kind of like, it was like this little competition of use of words that the other person didn't know. And then they, of course, couldn't stand that. And they'd have to go and look up what those words meant. And so it was just this fun little competitive thing that was going on. But she engaged in it that way because that's her personality. And she just kind of pursued that on her own. And I think if I had forced a whole bunch of writing on her, none of that would have happened. And this is the beauty of a simple, unhurried approach to homeschooling is you give that margin to your kids to ask questions and to pursue things at their own pace, in their own way, at their own time. And so that's why our homeschooling itself, the base homeschooling was just very, very simple. We made sure we had the basics covered every day. And then our kids were cut loose to do other things and pursue other things. So they weren't so tied to the books for so many hours a day that they didn't even want to open a book anymore. And by the way, then one of the next podcasts that I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about our simple routine, exactly what it looked like, just to give you an idea of what our days look like. Obviously, everyone's schedule is going to look different. Their routine is going to look different. But I think you'll be really encouraged by the simplicity of it. And also because I'm down the road now and I've got this hindsight, I've got 7 out of our 8 kids graduated. And I can tell you that listening to that gut instinct that God gave me totally paid off and gave us a wonderful, joyful homeschooling experience. It was not perfect by any stretch of the imagination because, you know, none of us are perfect and none of our homeschooling is perfect. Never had one single perfect homeschooling day, but we had a lot of really good days. And so I'll be sharing that with you in an upcoming podcast. So now I'm going to give you Jake's answer to the question, what would you say were the most influential approaches that encouraged you to write? So Jake is a software engineer for Amazon. So think heavy on logic, math. That was his gig. I mean, that was his thing. Writing was not his thing. If you've read either of my books, you'll know his story, and I may go ahead and share it again today anyway in case you haven't heard it. So when he was probably around 12 years old, he finally picked up a book that he thought was interesting. It took that long for him to engage in any kind of depth with any book. We did some reading out loud. You know, I had our kids read every day and write a summary, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But he essentially did not really care for reading, and he didn't really care for writing at all. And so, but he picked up this book on coding, and it just changed his life. He read book after book after book of coding, and but still did not love writing. And fast forward, he turns 16. He decides he wants to do dual enrollment because he wants to get his computer science degree. So this kid is going to start college, and I'm sweating bullets thinking he is not prepared when it comes to the writing because he's obviously got to get through a couple years of basics at the community college. And we've really not touched on much writing other than his summaries. And so we kind of like limped along. I got a couple of like workbooks that sort of at least explained this is persuasive writing. This is, you know, just essay writing. And, you know, just so he kind of would at least have an idea of what the different kinds of writing were. He did a little bit of it, but it really just fell off to the wayside. So then he goes to take his entrance exam. And I'm thinking, I'm going to find out what a crappy homeschool mom I am because he is not going to pass the English entrance exam. He's just not going to. I was like, okay. So I just prayed. He went, he took the test. He came back. I said, well, how'd it go? He said, it went great. I said, well, how did your English entrance exam go? He said, I aced it. And I was like, really? You know, obviously there wasn't a lot of writing involved, but it was grammar, punctuation, you know, just kind of the basics. And he flew through it just fine, even though we, like I said, didn't do a ton of different styles of writing. He said to me, Mom, you taught us to speak well at home, and that's really all I needed to pass that entrance exam. So again, the value of conversation, the value of teaching our children to speak well through conversation, teaching them to communicate effectively through conversation. Never underestimate the value of that. But what he has to say, oh, and also fast forward to his first quarter of college, he is in a writing class, and I'm thinking, oh boy, I wonder how this is going to go for him. It was a horribly difficult class. It had three different subjects in one. It was kind of like this test class they were doing. And of course, since he was new and the bottom of the totem pole, he didn't have a lot of choices of classes, so he took it. They actually canned the idea after that quarter because it was just such a bad idea. But you know what? He got a B+. And I read his first paper. It had footnotes. I was completely floored at what he can do. And you know what the difference was? He was motivated. He wanted that degree, and he knew he had to do this to get it. And so he pulled himself up by the bootstraps, and he did it. And so again, motivation for writing sometimes doesn't actually really happen until they're finding that career, or that job, or they've got that goal in mind. So don't fret. So this is what he has to say. I still don't like writing and avoid it whenever possible. When I do write, I usually start with a structure of topics or bullet points, then flesh each bullet point out to a draft, and then refine that. And you know, as a creative writer myself, that is the opposite of how I write. I like to write in a conversation style, like I'm talking to somebody. And his approach is completely the opposite, but you can tell it is a math logic approach. And here's what else he had to say. I think it's important to understand that some people don't like creative writing, which is what schools focus on. So I think technical writing is something that should be acceptable as well. Again, finding that motivation for writing. Luke, he is currently doing a lot of remodeling and on houses. He edits my podcast. He creates digital music. He kind of has a whole basket full of different things that he does. But this is what he had to say. He said, oh man, I am not a huge writer, but seeing the value of clear communication really helps give some purpose to it for me. And I asked him, I said, you know, he's about to have their first baby and he's homeschooled from the beginning. And just I said, from where you're sitting right now, what you know right now, how would you approach how would you approach writing when it comes to homeschooling your son? Because they're planning to homeschool him when the time comes. I said, how much emphasis do you think you would put on writing? Would you let it be more natural? Would you work more through conversation? Just trying to sort of mine out what his perspective was. And he said this, probably take more of a literary-like approach, like the summary approach that you did. Unfortunately, language arts are pretty much that. They're art. So there's not a dependable system like there is for math. I think that's why reading and regurgitating it worked so well for me. So I'm going to explain how I taught writing, our simple approach. So in the very beginning, I mentioned before, from the time they were very young, I encouraged conversation continually. And we would read books out loud. As they got old enough, I would ask them, so who were the main characters in the story? And tell me what happened. What happened first? And then what happened after that? And then what happened after that? And I would let them sort of retell the story. And that is what's called narration. And that is a wonderful pre-language, pre-writing skill or a way to encourage that skill. And to practice it, just to practice it through talking. It's relaxed. They're not having to write anything down because they can't at this age. They're still learning, maybe learning their letters and their numbers, and they haven't written words or sentences yet. And so that's how we would start. And then a couple of other things that we would do is, so when they started to be able to write a short sentence. I would say write one sentence about the story that we read. And then we would move eventually into two sentences and three sentences and then a paragraph and then a couple of paragraphs and then half a page, depending on their age. And that those were the summaries. So started with narration and worked into the summary. Some of the other things that we did to sort of encourage a love for good writing was copy work. Have them copy good literary work. Choose books that are living books. If you've never heard of that, you can look it up on the internet. There are some really great book lists out there. Honey for a Child's Heart just came out with, I want to say it's like their 12th edition. I don't know. They were the first book back in the day to come out with a reading list. And so I remember them way back in the day, and they've just come out and updated throughout the years. And they just recently came out with the latest one. So I'd encourage you to check that out. Also, Read Aloud Revival. Sarah McKenzie has a wonderful book list there. We want to be reading living books. We want our kids to be doing copy work from living books. My kids also did scripture as a copy work. I don't know that I would encourage that as the only thing that they did, because we know that scripture is written very differently than the language that we speak, even the newer translations. And sometimes the punctuation isn't quite right. But I did like my husband requested that our kids would write some scripture every day. And so we did do that. But again, good books with good content, great writing, that's going to get our kids used to and give them a sort of a taste for good writing. The other thing that we did was dictation. So that's a little bit different process. And what that is I would read a paragraph or two paragraphs or a sentence or whatever, depending on the child's age, and they would have to write what I was reading to them. And that works really well too. It's just another way to approach the writing. So as I mentioned before, the summaries were sort of like our baseline thing. The kids would read something or we'd read something out loud or whatever. Typically, my kids were fairly independent, so they each had their own books that they were reading, and which was usually their pick of what they wanted to read. I guided some because I didn't want them, you know, using twaddle or books that just were dumb. And so, you know, sometimes I would get a stack of books and I would say, pick one from this stack. Other times we'd have a conversation about it, like, what are you interested in? Or we'd go to the library and they could pick it out, or they could look on our bookshelf and find one there. So they would basically read for 20 to 30 minutes, depending on their age. Excuse me. And then they would write a summary, a brief summary of what they read. So that was just sort of like our go-to, our basic thing. And then what I would do is I would look over their summary every single day. So when they first started, we would look at the sentence and we would look at the spelling, the punctuation, and all of that. And we would correct anything that needed to be corrected. As they got older and they had done it longer, sometimes I began to have them check it first. Have you read over this? Did you read it out loud to yourself to see if it made sense or if you missed any words? Also be looking for capitalization, punctuation, all of that. So when they sat down with me, I knew that they had edited already. And we caught together then what they didn't catch. And so I'm training their eyes to see capitalization, punctuation, poor spelling, poor sentence structure. Maybe choose a different adjective, something a little more exciting than just amazing. Okay, what's another word for amazing? Well, do you know how to find other words for if you want to find a different word for something that you are trying to express, let's look up amazing. We look it up and look under synonyms and antonyms. Synonyms are same. They mean the same thing. Antonyms are the opposite. So amazing. Well, that could be tremendous, marvelous, fantastic, you know. So we can do a lot of like just natural teaching through going over these summaries with these kids. And as we do that, again, in such a simple way, We're covering so much: grammar, spelling, punctuation, sentence structure, even handwriting. We can correct the handwriting if it's like, okay, that R, that you skipped the R right there. See that? You kind of made a little bump, but it's not really legible. So go back and fix that. So everything was done in pencil so they could go back. And when that was fully corrected, then we could move on. So like I said, that was the basic, that was our basic go-to through all of our years of homeschooling. Even in high school for some of the kids, that was the extent of their writing. Sometimes I would have them read their history and write a summary about their history if we were running into like running out of time in terms of them having too many credits that they were trying to do. Their load was getting too heavy. And this was a suggestion that was made by a mom who had homeschooled all six of her kids. They were adults. She'd been a teacher herself. She was a principal. She encouraged me to do this. She said, hey, that workload looks like it's a little too much. How about if we try to combine subjects? I said, that sounds great. She said, have them read either their history or their science or whatever, and then write a summary of what they read. And then their writing will be covered, their reading will be covered, and their history will be covered. And obviously, you know, we tried to encourage extra books on top of that. But, you know, sometimes the workload is just a lot in high school and we need to be flexible. And that is one of the ways that we can help keep that school day down to just 4 hours or less. Now, I mentioned before, this was our baseline. We occasionally dabbled into more specific kinds of writing. I mentioned Jake's series of short workbooks, short-lived, not enjoyed. A few of the kids, I took them into learning language arts through literature, usually around fourth, fifth, or sixth grade, somewhere in there. Some of them stuck with it for quite a while. Some of them did not. But I liked it because it really covered the gamut of language arts. And I felt like it was a gentle approach. And it worked really well for some of our kids. So learning language arts through literature was one of my favorites around that age, even as early as, you know, second or third grade, up to, you know, seventh, eighth grade. I did really enjoy that series. Like I said, I can't remember exactly what ages I used those at, but I did enjoy the several different age levels that I did use. So as you can tell, I didn't really take a conventional approach to writing. And guess what? My kids are fine. They're better than fine. And best of all, I never regretted taking that simple approach. Well, there was that moment in the college parking lot when when I was waiting to hear how Jake did on his entrance exam. You know, it wasn't like I was totally sure of myself all along the way. It was constantly a prayer. It was constantly a, Lord, how do you want me to approach this? What's actually working for our kids? What isn't? What's working for this kid? What isn't? A kid comes to me and says, I really, really hate learning language arts through literature. I said, okay, then let's talk about what we can do. Maybe we can do some of the things in here, but maybe not all of the things. What things do you think you would like to do? And we would just talk about it. And again, it doesn't mean that they never have to do something they don't want to do, but it was an ongoing conversation. And as we talked about it, it encouraged them to own it. And maybe my approach just isn't for you. Maybe you're doing something different and less simple and it's working for you. And I say, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. I am simply here to offer my story and encouragement that you can listen to your gut. You can be prayerful, you can be watchful, and you can do whatever God is leading you to do, even this simple, unhurried approach that we took as a family. So I hope you found some encouragement here today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this time together. We thank you for the written word. We thank you that your word was written for us. We know it wasn't written to us, it was written for us, but there's so much to glean out of it. And we're so thankful for it. And you've blessed us with other books as well, Lord. The fact that we can just learn about anything at any time is actually sometimes overwhelming, but it's also a gift. Thank you that if there were any time that we could homeschool our kids, it's now with access to whatever we need, Lord. But Father, again, sometimes that can be overwhelming. So I just pray that you would give every mom here wisdom to know what is a great rhythm for her children, specifically when it comes to writing. I ask that today's episode would just calm her soul, help her to relax, and to be able to really hear from you, and then move forward in courage, doing what you are leading her to do. In Jesus' name, amen.